Welcome to Siemens PLM podcast series on smart manufacturing brought to you by the Siemens Thought Leadership Team. With technological advancements all around us in the manufacturing industry, it's important to understand how improving machinery operations is dependent upon making your factory smarter. So today, in our fourth and final podcast of this series, we're discussing the smart manufacturing techniques to use to improve machine assembly, shop layouts, and process simulation. Moreover, we will be stressing the importance of simulation of both the manufacturing environment and the actual machine being built. And we have so enjoyed this series with our resident expert, Bill Davis, who is the Director of Industrial Machinery and Heavy Equipment Solutions at Siemens. Bill's expertise in this industry extends over 30 years, with 20 years as an engineer. So I welcome you, Bill, and let's continue this dynamic topic of smart manufacturing and smart factories.
The second piece of taking advantage and being smarter in manufacturing operations is the assembly layout. Lots of books have been written about this, about how to optimize material movement and everything, you know, under the sun. And as we talked about, you know, machinery manufacturers tend to build in lots. We've got 5 machines here, 10 machines here, and they're all very similar, or, you know, but they have variants. So how do I make sure that I get the right parts to the right spot on the assembly floor at the right time? You need to have a software solution that lets you simulate where your machines are positioned on the floor and how I'm getting material to them. And we have this process simulation that's really, you know, novel in terms of making sure that eliminate high traffic zones and places where we could have delays in getting materials. We need to optimize how the work cell is located if we're more of a work cell, you know, machine builder. How do I make sure that I'm putting the materials that I need that are defined by my manufacturing bill of material, how do I make sure that they get to the right spot on the floor that optimizes the usefulness of the guys putting them together? So not too far, that everything's within arm's reach. So we need to do not just a shop layout and a simulation, but we also need to do a process simulation. And what I mean by that is what's often overlooked in an engineer to order type of operation is we have, usually there are conflicts. Machinery is, I always say that machinery is about putting 10 pounds of functionality in a 5-pound bag. That bag doesn't expand. So usually the assembly process is a compromise that's a result of the design. But as we look at all of these other trends toward adaptability and predictability and extendability, it's really important that I look at the human factor for that assembly process and be able to take a detailed look at what tools I need and how I can achieve the quality necessary. So if you use an example where we've got a machine assembly that's inside a frame and I can't physically move the torque wrench to get to the right spot so that I can get the necessary torque on that particular bolt, that's going to be a quality problem. And so being able to simulate that in the early part of the design process will help us get first-time quality up by being able to make changes when it costs a lot less. So I may be able to move an element of that frame, you know, 2 or 3 inches to the right or left, and now I can torque that bolt properly. So we need not just the shop layout capability, but we also need process simulation at the human factor level to see where we have problems. And like I said before, a lot of times these things don't manifest themselves until there's a problem in the field. That bolt that seemed like it was torqued properly, as an example, can loosen up and then cause other failures. But the root cause of it was driven by the fact that the assembly process wasn't capable. So being able to simulate that as part of the design process is really important for continuous improvement and through the development process. So another part of the manufacturing operations piece that's important is looking at not just the individual subassembly and machine assembly process, but it's how do I schedule multiple machines and multiple product lines at the same time. In a previous role that I had, this was a huge problem because I would have high variability in terms of the shop floor requirements. One machining center or one project for a customer would require a 20 by 20 space, and another would require a space that was 10 feet by 30. So putting them all in a jigsaw puzzle in terms of that process physically was one challenge, but also getting them scheduled throughout the shop and backing all that whole schedule up back through the part manufacturing was really a challenge. And so having the capability in assembly process scheduling software and is really important in terms of being able to know how not just my people are being used, but what machines are being used and how my floor space is being used. So all three aspects. All of that leads up to one thing, and that is either a factory acceptance or a site acceptance test. Routinely, what happens is you schedule that the customer is going to come in and check out the machine, and then they're going to be so elated with its performance that they're going to sign on the bottom line and deliver the machine, and you're off and running. But the reality is the piece leading up to them coming in and approving that machine is really a factor where there's actually simulation that goes on. So the programmer is sitting in front of the machine and testing out all of the operating conditions. And they're doing it in a very pressure cooker environment because there's never enough time, and the more complexity of the machine, there's never enough time to test out everything that needs to be tested out to make sure that the machine PLC code meets the requirements completely. So what you really need to do is you need to have software that allows you to simulate that up front in the design process and in the software development piece so that you can simulate that PLC code so that when you do get to the machine on the floor, you can run through the use cases effectively and validate that, yep, the code actually did what the simulation said it would do. And so then you can focus on the areas where there are generally going to be some challenges that you may not be able to simulate. So you can really focus the time on bringing that machine into the commissionable state as quickly as possible. And that's, every time that the machine is sitting idle or even being tested is idle time for my cash. Hate to put it in those terms, but the reality is if I can spend less time in commissioning, debugging things that I already should have known from my PLC code generation, that's a faster time that I can get the machine to the customer more quickly. And I need to be able to do that simulation, not just from a, slide movement of parts, but also including kinematics. So, tying back in that simulation to my physical stress analysis and fatigue and all of that. So these are all things that I can do from an assembly management operations perspective that will drive value for the company and be more efficient in terms of generating more cash, reducing the potential for margin erosion by errors and quality problems. Overall, it really stems from the digital twin because it couldn't happen without the digital twin. But all of that information in our case from a Siemens PL perspective, all of that is resident in the executable digital twin.
Do you have examples of any use cases of this where companies have implemented the simulation and seen a reduction in errors or a reduction in time while an increase in cash flow? Without mentioning company names, do we have examples of you know, improved metrics?
There's a company that we actually have used. They're both a Siemens hardware customer, and they're also a Siemens software provider, or software user. They've embraced the digital twin, you know, completely in the digitalization of their machining or manufacturing centers. They're a packaging machinery company. So what they do is they build bags or boxes and package product, you know, whether it's chips or bags of some sort, and they put them into boxes. And they've been able to, from a design perspective, by leveraging that digital twin, they've been able to increase their production speed, such as to make it a differentiator for them, so that that they can tout that they build the world's fastest packaging machinery. Now, how they make more money out of and justify the extra cost that the world's fastest machine can justify is the fact that they've embraced the digital twin for software development using some of the products that we have for what we call virtual commissioning, which is realistically is software validation. Previously, what they found is that similar to the use case that I expressed, where the programmer was sitting on the floor programming the machine and testing it out and making sure that it didn't collide, and then he would hit the go button, and next thing you know, the pick head that was supposed to move right, move left instead, and collided with the frame. And so by being able to leverage our software from a automation perspective, what they're able to do is they're able to see a couple different things. First of all, they validated that the machine would do what it said it would do. But also that they could increase the speed of that machine because the servo motor that drove it was capable of doing more. And so they were able to drive higher speeds and greater reliability because they really understood the limits of what the program should be able to do. The quote that the engineering director, VP of engineering, said was that he would rather have the machines collide in the digital twin than in the real one. And of course, that's true. So being able to drive that validation verification up through, you know, from the design perspective, creates greater efficiency on the shop floor and lets them realistically execute more machines. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that they've been able to see a 20% improvement in the overall capacity of their machine shop or their operations, because the time that was spent previously in validation, verification, and commissioning was minimized. It wasn't eliminated entirely, but it was minimized, and so that increase translated directly to the bottom line and allowed them to sell more machines, and of course that translates to making more money.
Great example there, Bill. Thanks for that. Let's move into, and you've already touched on this several times, just describing smart manufacturing, but that would be more of a focus on the quality piece in parts manufacturing. How Siemens ensures that quality through their portfolio of offerings.
So when we look at our portfolio, you know, of software products, we obviously offer design and simulation products. We offer data management of the entire life cycle of the product. We offer operations management software, and we offer manufacturing engineering software. So the CAM piece of it, the scheduling piece of it from a shop floor management. But what's really important is that we have what we call closed loop quality. So the information from the management of the digital twin itself, so the component part quality factors, we can take that quality requirement that we need to have, whether it's a supplier quality piece or it's an actual physical piece. And we build that into our manufacturing process. So that's one part of the closed loop operations management quality inspection process. We can automate the inspection process by linking the coordinate measuring machines to the database in such a way that we can program the inspection points or critical to quality measurements and bring those back into and translate those back and retain them into statistical process control documentation. So we can handle that from a part process, in process quality measurements. So inspection, incoming materials inspection can be handled in much the same way in our software. And then on the people and process side as well, we have software capability to allow us to make sure that not only the process is capable, because we can validate that process, but we can make sure that people are trained in executing that process. So the certification process, again, I mentioned it's people, process, and product as the three hallmarks of quality. So it's important that we talk about them in those three contexts. So we talked about the product itself, the process that we define, whether it's an assembly process or a machining center process. You know, we need to make sure that the people can execute the process and that the process itself is capable. So when you have an error, is it because the machine wasn't capable of making the part to the specification, or is it because the person running the machine didn't know how to execute, do what he was supposed to do to make the part to quality, right? So those are two parts that we have software that's capable of in both of those areas. When we look at increasing the IQ of your quality process, a closed-loop manufacturing process is what we're talking about, and it ensures consistency by establishing the digital twin that encompasses the full manufacturing process. So that helps to eliminate the risks, because it identifies what your critical failure points are, because you know what the quality points, the critical to quality points are in the product, and you can trace that back to process, and you can certify people. So that's how that whole increasing your IQ of your quality process. And the digital twin also provides some flexibility and increased efficiency. Again, we know that you can't execute the same thing the same way all the time based on the schedule. So you have to have alternatives and adapt based on resource constraints. So being able to having that digital twin that includes the manufacturing process is really important to be able to quickly evaluate what your alternatives are, determine the impact on our schedule. Realistically, being able to have that flexibility to adapt to the conditions on the floor, because I've learned one thing about manufacturing operations is that if you think everything is running right, just wait 5 minutes and something will go haywire. So you have to be able to be very flexible in terms of how you think about executing to be able to adapt to changing conditions on the floor.
Thanks, Bill. That's a great answer. And I just want to thank you again. We have counted it a pleasure to speak to you throughout this series on smart manufacturing and its effect on the industry. And we are definitely looking forward to hearing your contribution on any upcoming series that will be happening in the future. Thank you much.